PMS, pregnancy, menopause. Being a woman is a lot. Olly supports you and yours with expert solutions for every age and life stage. They just launched two new products exclusively at Walmart. Period Hero combats bloat, mood swings, and more during PMS. And Balance Perimeno to support hormonal balance, mood, and metabolism during perimenopause. Grab yours at Olly.com.
Olly!
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
My guest today is Allegra Frank. She's here to talk about Digimon Story, Cyber Sleuth. My name is Justin McElroy, and you're listening to Polygon's Quality Control. All right. Hey, Allegra, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you, Justin?
Good. I've prepared a lot of questions here.
Awesome.
Sort of like all digging into my, like drawing on my vast reservoir of knowledge about the Digimon universe and the Digimon game specifically. So there's so many here. Let me just choose one to start out with. That's all it says here. It just says, huh? Huh? And then I'll just combine the two. And the second one is, what is this game?
Both of those are excellent questions. Questions I ask myself frequently. So this is an RPG game. So Digimon has had
That would be a role-playing game. Listen, I hate to derail things so early.
It is a role-playing game is what
okay,
it is.
Okay, got it.
It's even more game than the standard role-playing game.
Unless your character's name is Greg, and it's a role-playing Greg game, in which case I guess that would be okay.
You could name your character Greg, so it could be a role-playing Greg game.
Perfect.
It's a super, super role-playing game. Sort of like previous Digimon games, although I haven't actually played too many other Digimon games. But so you play as a boy or girl. You can choose like a teen, Japanese teen, who falls into the digital world due to some strange circumstances. They actually become digitized, which gives them access to a bevy of digital monsters.
Okay.
As Digimon is short for. Which they can then take into battle with the ultimate goal of, like, restoring balance to this world and reclaiming their, like, human physical body.
Okay.
It's pretty bizarre. Kind of weird. The main crux of this game, though, is collecting all the Digimon. I was going to say that they're cute, but actually most of the Digimon are pretty grotesque, gotta say. That's one slight against Digimon, I will concede. But it's really just a monster collector. Kind of your standard monster collecting game with a little bit of a twist, though, because there's a good storyline here, or at least an interesting one.
Yeah, you mentioned interestingly, I thought you talked about how while this is a Digimon game with all that that implies, there's some interesting stuff going on story wise
yeah, so it's a little bit more mature than you might expect from a game based on, a kid's cartoon. It does take place in a contemporary setting, which isn't atypical for Digimon, but it also stars older characters, so you are playing, I don't know if they say exactly how old you are, but they're older teens, and there are adults in the cast as well. And it's sort of dabbling in this moral gray area in which, like, your friends become your enemies, and everyone sort of has a dark side, which is kind of interesting, and it's revealed slowly but surely over the course of this very, very long game. It's pretty long,
right? How many times did you say, like, wow, I'm still playing this Digimon game?
Like every hour.
Every hour? What, is it boring?
It's not boring, but so it's like divided into chapters, and there's like 25 chapters or something, which all have varying lengths. So sometimes the chapter's like an hour, so it's like, oh wow, I'm already on chapter 5, and then chapter 5 will be 4 hours long. And the problem is that, like, the story itself is compelling, but a lot of the stuff surrounding that story isn't as much. So it'll be, you know, a lot of fetch quests and dungeon crawling, which isn't quite as fun, except for the fact that you are hunting for these Digimon, which is pretty fun. It's pretty enjoyable to catch all the Digimon, gotta say.
So I actually have some questions from listeners here that would like to, you know, get a little bit of insight. I'll admit it. It was kind of a call for help. I sort of said, please, someone. So here we go. This first question is from Some Tough Beans, who says, ask about some of the more suspect designs of female characters. Kyoko is especially bad. Can you sort of like explain what's going on there?
What's the
deal with that?
Right. So Kyoko is your boss in the game. So it's called Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth because that you're playing a cyber sleuth. So because you're like half digital, half human, you have this unique ability to go into the digital world and, you know, other people are kind of negatively affected or unable to do that, but you can just kind of easily, you know, transfer between the human world and the digital world. So you become a cyber sleuth to like solve mysteries in the digital world. And the person who employs you is Kyoko, and she has some pretty interesting fashion choices. I wonder if she gets cold because she's not really wearing a shirt under her jacket. Kind of an interesting.
It's a choice, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, which I'm not judging, but it's
well, you don't have to. I mean, if she was a real person on Earth, you could say that, but like she was created by people. Probably dudes. I mean, like, probably. Maybe not, but probably.
I'm gonna guess dudes.
Was it distracting at all? Or that kind of stuff, when it rears its head, you know, it can always be, I think there's a tolerance level. Some people are more, you know, distracted by that and tolerant of it. Some people are, you know, completely thrown off by it. Like, did you find it, like, detracting from your enjoyment of the game?
You know, I didn't find it to be detracting, maybe because I've watched, you know, a lot of anime and things where that sort of design isn't so weird, and you know, a lot of female characters are, you know, wearing some suspicious outfits.
Mm-hmm.
But when I kind of looked at it out of its context, like when we were actually laying out the review and trying to find screens, a lot of the screens feature Kyoko. And we were kind of like, yeah, we probably shouldn't throw that on the page there, because that's going to elicit the wrong kind of attention here. it's not really the point of the game that she's dressed in this ludicrous manner. So sort of divorced from the actual setting of the game, I was like, yeah, this is not great. But I actually really like that character, because I find her to be, you know, she's in charge of her own detective agency and always comes in and saves the day, sometimes inexplicably. So she's a pretty cool, compelling character, but yeah, her fashion is kind of disappointing.
A little suspect. How the same question asker, Some Tough Beans, who's really saving my bacon this time around, wanted to know how the translation is. How's the localization?
I was a big fan. So I think my favorite thing about this game is that it's really funny in this really unexpected way. Like, there's just a really strong sense of humor, and I think a lot of that does come from the translation. I mean, there are spots where there's, you know, spelling errors or grammar errors.
Sure.
But the voice acting is still in Japanese, though, so, you know, it's just all of that stuff is textual. But some of the stuff is like, there's some really funny jokes, which I assume are unique to the localization. So there's one part where they kind of throw a lampshade over the fact that Digimon is not derivative, but similar to Pokemon and Yo-Kai Watch, because they're all monster collecting kids series. So there's some really good jokes kind of making fun of that, and use of like internet slang in these really unexpected ways. So I pretty much was a fan of the translation, I will say. Aside from the earlier on, there's some pretty bad, you know, spelling mistakes and things. But other than that, I was a fan.
excuse me. Do you need to be like, let's pretend, all right, just like goofing around. Let's pretend that I had literally no familiarity with the Digimon franchise. Is this the sort? Yeah, I know. But we're just pretending, okay? Let's not get carried away. Let's pretend that I had no familiarity with this franchise. Is this still something that I could hop into and enjoy?
I think so. I mean, this is like an extreme hypothetical right now, because, I mean, you and I talk about Digimon all the time.
Constantly. Yeah. I get sick of it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, me too. It drives me wild. But, yeah, I would definitely think that there's... I would say there's something here for non-Digimon fans. A lot of the monsters available to you to, you know, catch and collect are from the show, so as a fan, you will appreciate that far more than the hypothetical version of Justin would. But ultimately, it's an RPG, and it's sort of Persona-esque. I don't want to necessarily go that far, because the thing I like about the Persona games is, you know, there's all the social link building and all these other fun things to do, and that's not present in the same way, but you do have the chance to build up relationships with both the Digimon and the other human characters by taking on these side quests or interacting. There's this really fun text messaging mechanic, which doesn't really add anything to the game other than the fact, like, it's kind of just funny to play with, and it's kind of cute when your Digimon are texting you. Like, your Digimon can text you to your cell phone. It's really crazy. But little touches like that, I think, would be appealing to even a non-fan, because it's just legitimately funny, regardless of your familiarity.
Yeah.
And the battle system is just fun and simple. There's some depth, but it's kind of your standard RPG battle system, but it's still addicting as your typical JRPG.
I want to hear more about Digimon, believe it or not, but we're going to take a quick break. This episode is brought to you by Loot Crate, a monthly subscription box service for geek and gamer items. I love Loot Crate. I'm a fan. It took me a while to get on board, and I don't know why, because it really is something to look forward to every month. It's not like the only thing I have to look forward to. I have a lot. I lead a full life, but like this, who couldn't use another one? For less than $20 a month, you get 4 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles. There's usually a t-shirt in there. That's cool. I could always use more of those. And right now, if you go to lootcrate.com/control and you enter the code control, you could save $3 on any new subscription, which is radical. They guarantee $40+ of value in every crate. Sometimes it's a lot more. There's a different theme, every month. This theme, month is Versus, celebrating some of the greatest rivalries in pop culture. Dark Knight versus Man of Steel, Alien versus Predator, Spock versus Mirror Universe Spock, Chunky versus Creamy, Daredevil versus Punisher. I added Chunky versus Creamy. You want to get that box. You're going to want to sign up by the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to get that month's crate. And when the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. So go to lootcrate.com/control and enter the code control to save $3 on your new subscription today. Allegra, this game is for the PlayStation Vita and PS4, right?
It is.
What platform did you go with and why?
I went for PlayStation 4 because PlayStation 4 is awesome and I actually own one.
That's a great reason. How do you think, do you think this is the sort of game? It's always interesting to me when games are cross-buy, because it seems like we're talking about two very different things. You know what I mean? Like it is not, a console game and a mobile game seem to have two very different sort of, definitions. Do you think this would work for somebody who wanted to play, in a mobile on the go sense?
Yeah. So, I haven't played it on mobile at all because, yeah, again, I don't have the PS Vita. But I have friends who have the game on Vita, and I think actually more people I know who have this game have it on Vita. Hmm. And so I was talking to them, and they were like, oh, I can't imagine playing this on my TV at all. It seems so small. But to me, it doesn't come off that way. It just comes off as a standard JRPG, which I tend to play on console, but
right,
it does sort of have You know, it reuses dungeon designs. It doesn't, the overworld isn't so huge, and the cutscenes aren't fully animated. It's just, you know, 3D models on a 2D background most of the time, or, you know, a flat static background. So I can see it translating well on the go, especially because, like, battles aren't that long and you can save anywhere, things like that. But I think it works well on console as well, even though it's not, like, huge.
So is it similar to the sort of Pokemon concept in combat? You're sending your own Digimon out against other people's Digimon?
Yes and no. It's yes and no in that, like, Pokemon is far more structured in the sense where, like, you have gyms that you have to go to, and there's trainers, tons of trainers in the wild. This is more like random battles with occasional bosses. Mm-hmm. So most of the fights that you're getting into are with just, you know, untrained wild Digimon. But it's similar in that it's, you know, you have your team of, you have six Digimon in Pokemon, you have six as well. And it's turn-based, and they have different, you know, elemental-based attacks, and you select them each turn, etc. So it's very similar in that sense, although it's more of the random battles, which is my least favorite thing.
Well, it's the worst, right?
Yeah.
It's 2016. Why are we still having random battles?
Oof. Good question. Excellent question.
If I want to fight some, like, I don't see how a Digimon can sneak up on you. I mean, I guess I can kind of see it. They're small.
Some of them are really big.
Really big, like crazy big. Hey, listen, Allegra, do people, like, you said you know some people who are playing this game, so I think you'd be able to answer this question for me. Do people, like, choose one of these that they're just going to, like, roll with? Like, do people make a decision at some point in their life, like, they're going to be a Digimon person or a Pokemon person, and they just kind of have to, like, legally stick to it? Or is there some crossbreeding between the species? How does this whole thing work?
I don't think it's as factionalized as one might think. Like, I don't think there's Team Pokemon versus Team Digimon. Like, I know myself, I'm a huge fan of both.
Somebody just looked up at their podcast player like, oh, hell, the hell there isn't. Bring it. I hate Pokemon.
Torching me on Twitter right now about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah? I'll show you a war. You want a war?
I'm sure there are people who are staunch supporters of one side over the other, but the thing that I often say to people who, you know, have no familiarity with either and, you know, want to know the difference, which, like, I don't understand those people and how they don't already subscribe to Pokemon and Digimon, which are two of God's greatest gifts. But, okay. So Pokemon has the game thing locked down. Like, Pokemon games are pretty much perfect. Pokemon cartoon, you know, I'm 22. I'm not watching the Pokemon cartoon anymore. Digimon, on the other hand, the Digimon television series is a gem. Very well done. Excellent. Holds up. There's currently a new season airing right now. It's excellent. I will still watch it. There's actually a new episode premiering, I think, tomorrow, so that's exciting. But the Digimon games kind of come and go. Like, I would always go for a Pokemon game over a Digimon game. So that's sort of how we can live in a world in which these things coincide and we're not beating each other up over which one is better, because we know that Pokemon has its thing locked down and Digimon has its thing locked down.
I think that that's really beautiful, and I'm glad that peace can exist between these two groups.
Yeah, peace they is hard to find in this world, but
they have something to teach all of us, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, Allegra, that's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for indulging my stupid questions about Digimon. I really do appreciate it. I promise, sincerely.
Thank you. I'm always happy to answer any kind of question about Digimon.
Well, I'm sure I'll have others, and I'll just address those to you privately. But for those of you listening at home, you've done it. You've listened to another episode. Make sure to go to lootcrate.com/control and then use the code control to sign up. I promise. Try it for a month. See how you like it. I think you're really going to dig it. Until the next time we have a game to talk about for Allegra Frank, my name is Justin McElroy, and thank you for listening to Polygon's Quality Control.